To the last chapter of the book of 2 Kings. It's been a long path we've taken through 1 and 2 Samuel, 1 and 2 Kings, and this is our last chapter, and I'm not sure, honestly, what we're doing immediately after we finish this. But I think it's been great fun. I mean, I don't know if you guys have enjoyed it as much as I have, but This is quite an intensely interesting story of a few hundred years in the time of Israel, and the kings who did right and the kings who did wrong. And we could probably turn around right now and start back at 1 Samuel and go through it again if we wanted to, and not even talk about the same subjects as we talked about the first time through, because we really only just were clipping off pieces of cake as we went, and didn't by any means cover the subject in depth. But this morning, I'm going to try to get away with reading about 5 chapters of the Bible. I hope you guys are okay with that. Because it's the story of Zedekiah, who is the last king of Israel. There's about 7 or 8 chapters or so, just guessing, in the book of Jeremiah that concerns his life. And it is all extremely pertinent to the understanding of who this king was. And so I just want to look at his life this morning and the things that he was told and how he did not obey. So I guess we'll begin with prayer here. Father, do help us as we open up your word. Help us to believe right and think right and speak right. And I pray that you would teach us about Zedekiah and your will for our lives through this story. Amen. So let's begin with 2 Kings chapter 25, and we'll just read it. It came to pass in the 9th year of his reign, in the 10th month, in the 10th day of the month, that Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came, he and all his host, against Jerusalem, and pitched against it, and they built forts against it round about, and the city was besieged unto the 11th year of King Zedekiah. And on the 9th day of the 4th month, the famine prevailed in the city, and there was no bread for the people of the land. And the city was broken up, and all the men of war fled by night by the way of the gate, between 2 walls, which is by the king's garden. Now the Chaldees were against the city round about, and the king went the way toward the plain. And the army of the Chaldees pursued after the king and overtook him in the plains of Jericho, and all his army were scattered from him. So they took the king and brought him up to the king of Babylon, to Riblah, and they gave judgment unto him. And they slew the sons of Zedekiah before his eyes, and put out the eyes of Zedekiah, and bound him with fetters of brass, and carried him to Babylon. And in the 5th month, on the 7th day of the month, which is in the 19th year of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came Nebuzaradan, captain of the guard, a servant of the king of Babylon, unto Jerusalem. And he burnt the house of the Lord, and the king's house, and all the houses of Jerusalem, and every great man's house burnt he with fire. And all the army of the Chaldees that were with the captain of the guard brake down the walls of Jerusalem round about. Now the rest of the people that were left of the city, and the fugitives that fell away to the king of Babylon, with the remnant of the multitude, did Nebuzaradan, the captain of the guard, carry away. But the captain of the guard left of the poor of the land to be vine dressers and husbandmen. And the pillars of brass that were in the house of the Lord, and the bases and the brazen sea that was in the house of the Lord, did the Chaldees break in pieces and carried the brass of them to Babylon. And the pots and the shovels and the snuffers and the spoons and all the vessels of brass wherewith they ministered took they away. And the fire pans and the bowls and such things as were gold in were of gold in gold and of silver in silver, the captain of the guard took away. The 2 pillars, 1 sea, and the bases which Solomon had made for the house of the Lord, the brass of all these vessels was without weight. The height of the 1 pillar was 18 cubits, and the chapiter upon it was brass. And the height of the chapiter was 3 cubits, and the wreathen work and pomegranates upon the chapiter round about, all of brass, and like unto these had the second pillar with wreathen work. And the captain of the guard took Seraiah the chief priest, and Zephaniah the second priest, and the three keepers of the door, and out of the city he took an officer that was set over the men of war, and five men of them that were in the king's presence, which were found in the city, and the principal scribe of the host, which mustered the people of the land, and 70 men of the people of the land that were found in the city. And Nebuzaradan, captain of the guard, took these and brought them to the king of Babylon, to Riblah. And the king of Babylon smote them and slew them at Riblah in the land of Hamath. So Judah was carried away out of their land. And as for the people that remained in the land of Judah, whom Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, had left, even over them he made Gedaliah, the son of Ahikam, the son of Shaphan, ruler. And when all the captains of the armies, they and their men, heard that the king of Babylon had made Gedaliah governor, there came to Gedaliah to Mizpah even Ishmael the son of Nethaniah, and Jehohanan the son of Kareah, and Seraiah the son of Tanhumeth the Netophathite, and Jaazaniah the son of Amalekithite, they and their men. And Gedaliah sware to them and to their men, and said unto them, "Fear not to be servants of the Chaldees. Dwell in the land and serve the king of Babylon, and it shall be well with you." But it came to pass in the 7th month that Ishmael the son of Nethaniah, the son of Elishama, of the seed royal, came, and 10 men with him, and smote Gedaliah, that he died, and the Jews and the Chaldees that were with him at Mizpah. And all the people, both small and great, and the captains of armies arose and came to Egypt, for they were afraid of the Chaldees. And it came to pass in the 37th year of the captivity of Jehoiachin, king of Judah, in the 12th month of the 27th day of the month, that Evil-Merodach, king of Babylon, in the year that he began to reign, did lift up the head of Jehoiachin, king of Judah, out of prison. And he spake kindly to him, and set his throne above the throne of the kings that were with him in Babylon, and changed his prison garments, and he did eat bread continually before him all the days of his life. And his allowance was a continual allowance given him of the king, a daily rate for every day all the days of his life. Okay. We're talking, we read in the last chapter that we didn't read this morning, that King of Babylon had come, and he had taken, well, actually it wasn't Jehoiachin hadn't actually been conquered by the king of Babylon per se. He had come out of the city, I believe it was. He had come out, and he had offered himself, and all the people, the rulers with him, had come out and presented themselves to the king of Babylon, who had carried them away. And the king of Babylon had made Mattaniah, the son of Josiah, king in Jerusalem, and had changed his name to Zedekiah. And so Zedekiah reigned in Jerusalem, the son of Josiah. He had been put in Jerusalem to reign by the king of Babylon. So if you're the king of a country, but another king of another country allowed you to be that king, you're sort of subject to that other king. He wasn't the ultimate king of the country. The ultimate king of the country was Nebuchadnezzar from Babylon, because Nebuchadnezzar from Babylon had been the one in charge of giving him the kingdom. So Zedekiah is subject to the king of Babylon, but in the 9th year, he reigns for 9 years in Jerusalem, and in the 9th year he rebels against Nebuchadnezzar and says, "We're done with you, we're doing our own thing, you aren't our king, you're not controlling us." And so this is where we come in the 25th chapter. This is where we started reading in the chapter that we read this morning, is at this point of his life when he rebels against the king of Babylon and says, "I'm not serving you anymore." And he only reigns for 2 more years in Jerusalem before Nebuchadnezzar finally conquers the city and takes him to Babylon as well and kills a bunch of the other people in the city. Now, it just so happens that Jeremiah happens to be a prophet in Jerusalem at this time. in the book of Jeremiah, I forget now which kings he says. Let's just find this really quick. I think it's right in the beginning of the book of Jeremiah. In the first verse, the words of Jeremiah, the son of Hilkiah, of the priests that were in Anathoth in the land of Benjamin, to whom the word of the Lord came in the days of Josiah, the son of Ammon, king of Judah, in the 13th year of his reign. It came also in the days of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, unto the end of the 11th year of Zedekiah, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, unto the carrying away of Jerusalem captive in the 5th month. So Jeremiah was the prophet in to Jerusalem during the days of Josiah, and then his sons come to the throne and reign for approximately 22 years, the sons of Josiah reign. And so Jeremiah was prophet during the days of Josiah the king, and throughout all the years where four other people reign in Jerusalem, which only consists of about 22 years, he was prophet through that whole time. In that time, Nebuchadnezzar had come and had conquered Babylon and had carried away a bunch of the people. A couple of times he had been there before this time that we're talking about now with Zedekiah, and he had carried people away to Babylon. But Jeremiah stays there the whole time. Now, if God wants to send Jeremiah to be a prophet to the king of Judah, and Nebuchadnezzar is coming against the city, and God wants Jeremiah to be prophet in Jerusalem, then the king of Babylon is not taking him. Okay? You can just put that down. It does not matter how feeble you are or what your situation is or how rough the circumstances of life you have are. If there is a specific purpose that God has given you to do, there isn't anybody else that's going to interfere with it. Because God had sent Jeremiah to speak to these people his words. And so Jeremiah stays there through all the trouble. Though many, many, many other people get carried away into Babylon, Jeremiah is one of the few that stay in the city. Now, I want to read a few chapters out of Jeremiah in the things that take place between Jeremiah and this king Zedekiah to just show you exactly what took place in Zedekiah's life before Nebuchadnezzar finally comes and destroys the city. All the other times that Nebuchadnezzar has come against Jerusalem and he's carried away a king or killed a king or whatever, and he's taking people out of the city. He left the city alone. He would take this king and set somebody else in their place, and then he took another king and set Zedekiah in their place, but he always left the city alone. The final and last time that they came against the city, after Zedekiah absolutely refused to listen to everything Jeremiah told him, they broke the city down. They destroyed the temple, they burnt the king's house, they took everything out of the temple and carried it to Babylon and left the city in ruins. So that's the basic story of the things that happened. Now in Jeremiah, the 21st chapter, these aren't super long chapters here, but it won't take but a few minutes to get through each one. But I want you to hear the things that take place between Jeremiah and Zedekiah. So the 21st chapter says, "The word which came unto Jeremiah from the Lord, when King Zedekiah sent unto him Pashur the son of Malchiah, and Zephaniah the son of Maaseiah, the priest, saying, Inquire, I pray thee, of the Lord for us, for Nebuchadnezzar king of Babylon maketh war against us. If so be that the Lord will deal with us according to all his wondrous works, that he may go up from us." Zedekiah sends men to Jeremiah to ask him if God, through his miracles, can make this king leave. You guys probably been feeling this way about somebody who's in power in the United States right now. You've probably been wishing that God and his miracles could get rid of him, okay? but God doesn't always do the things that we think should happen. He does the things that he wants to do. And so this was Jeremiah's request, or Zedekiah's request to Jeremiah when he sent these people. And in verse 3, then said Jeremiah unto them, thus shall ye say to Zedekiah, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, behold, I will turn back the weapons of war that are in your hands, wherewith ye fight against the king of Babylon and against the Chaldeans, which besiege you without the walls, and I will assemble them into the midst of this city. He didn't tell Jeremiah what Zedekiah what he wanted here. Zedekiah wanted him to leave, and Jeremiah said, no, he's coming into the city, and the weapons that are in your hands will be turned back. Verse 5, and I myself will fight against you with an outstretched hand and with a strong arm, even in anger and in fury and great wrath. And I will smite the inhabitants of this city, both man and beast. They shall die of a great pestilence. And afterward, saith the Lord, I will deliver Zedekiah, king of Judah, and his servants and the people and such as are left in the city from the pestilence and from the sword and from the famine into the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and into the hand of their enemies and into the hand of those that seek their life. And he shall smite them with the edge of the sword. He shall not spare them, neither have pity nor have mercy. And unto this people thou shalt say, thus saith the Lord, Behold, I set before you the way of life and the way of death. Listen up now. God sets before them the way of life and death. He that abideth in this city shall die by the sword and by the famine and by the pestilence. But he that goeth out and falleth to the Chaldeans that besiege you, he shall live. And his life shall be unto him for a prey. For I have set my face against this city for evil and not for good, saith the Lord. It shall be given into the hand of the king of Babylon, and he shall burn it with fire. And touching the house of the king of Judah, say, hear ye the word of the Lord, O house of David. Thus saith the Lord, execute judgment in the morning, and deliver him that is spoiled out of the hand of the oppressor, lest my fury go out like fire, and burn that none can quench it, because of the evil of your doings. Behold, I am against thee, O inhabitant of the valley, and rock of the plain, saith the Lord, which say, who shall come down against us, or who shall enter into our habitation? Behold, I will punish you according to the fault of your doing, saith the Lord, and I will kindle a fire in the forest thereof, and it shall devour all things round about it. So Jeremiah was sent to by Zedekiah, and he gave him the word that God told him to say. Very specifically, he said, anybody in this city who wants to go out to the king of Babylon and present themselves to the king of Babylon can live. But if you want to stay in this city, you're going to die here in this city. You're going to die in the city. And that was the word from God. Now, of course, Zedekiah absolutely refused to listen to it, continued in his rebellion against the king of Babylon, refused to go out to him, continued in his war. And so in chapter 24 of Jeremiah, we will read again, Jeremiah writing here, the Lord showed me, and behold, two baskets of figs were set before the temple of the Lord after that Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, had carried away captive Jeconiah, the son of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, and the princes of Judah with the carpenters and smiths from Jerusalem and had brought them to Babylon. One basket had very good figs, even like the figs that are first ripe, and the other basket had very naughty figs, which could not be eaten, they were so bad. Then said the Lord unto me, what seest thou, Jeremiah? And he said, figs, the good figs, very good, and the evil, very evil, that cannot be eaten, they are so evil. Again the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, like these good figs, so will I acknowledge them that are carried away captive of Judah, whom I have sent out of this place into the land of the Chaldeans for their good. For I will set mine eyes upon them for good, and I will bring them again to this land, and I will build them and not pull them down, and I will plant them and not pluck them up, and I will give them an heart to know me, that I am the Lord, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God, for they shall return unto me with their whole heart. And as the evil figs which cannot be eaten, they are so evil, surely thus saith the Lord, so will I give Zedekiah the king of Judah and his princes and the residue of Jerusalem that remain in this land and them that dwell in the land of Egypt. And I will deliver them to be removed into all the kingdoms of the earth for their hurt, to be a reproach and a proverb, a taunt, and a curse in all places whither I shall drive them. And I will send the sword, the famine, and the pestilence among them till they be consumed from off the land that I gave them and to their fathers. Now again, God's word is extremely clear coming to Jeremiah. Those that have gone into Babylon under Nebuchadnezzar, I am going to bless, and I'm going to take care of, I'm going to build them, I'm going to plant them, and I'm going to teach them through this what they have suffered. They've been carried out of their land, they've been carried into and out of their land. I don't think we're going to read this part, but in another place, Jeremiah says specifically to those people that they should go build houses and dwell and seek the peace of their place where they've been carried and so on, because he said, I'm going to take care of you in that place. God promised to take care of Israel in Babylon. And he said that he wanted them to get to know him in Babylon. And they did. Many of the people of the Jews who got carried to Babylon got to know God in a way that they had not known him in Israel. And when they come back to Jerusalem 70 years later, they come back as a people that is seeking God, and they come back to build the temple under the leadership of Ezra. And there's a major renewal in that land at that point. This is what God accomplished when he carried them away. He said, the people I'm carrying away to Babylon, I'm going to take care of you there. But he said, those of you who are in Jerusalem and those of you who went to Egypt, I'm not taking care of you. You guys rebelled against me. You've rebelled against the king who I set over you, which was Nebuchadnezzar. You didn't listen to him. You rebelled against him, and I'm done with you. You guys are going into trouble. And so the word was very clear. Submit to the king of Babylon. I don't think I have it in me. I don't think I have it in my soul to tell you guys that you should submit to Joe Biden. But I fear that is actually the word of the Lord to us today. He is the president of America, regardless of whether we like it, regardless of what of anything. He's the president here. And sometimes God brings us into places we don't want to be. But he still said in the word that the powers that be are ordained of God, and that we are supposed to submit to them. And anybody anywhere in the history of the church or the world who has found it in their heart to fight against governments has found themselves to be fighting against God. It is never, ever the church's responsibility or place in the world to fight with the governments of the world. And the governments of the world are almost always wrong. Very rarely do we ever have a government in the world that is right. Though we have been blessed in this land sometimes. But we have not been called to fight with the government. We may find that those of us who get privileged enough to live in America, when we have somebody in government who is completely clueless, we may find that God wants to build us up and bring revival. Maybe that's what's going to happen. Anyway, I want to go to chapter 27 of this same book of Jeremiah. And believe it or not, I want to read the whole chapter. What does he say? Chapter 27, in the beginning of the reign of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, came this word unto Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, thus saith the Lord to me, make thee bonds and yokes, and put them upon thy neck, and send them to the king of Edom, and to the king of Moab, and to the king of the Amorites, and to the king of Tyrus, and to the king of Zidon, by the hand of the messengers which come to Jerusalem unto Zedekiah, king of Judah. And command them, saying, to say unto their masters, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, thus shall ye say unto your masters, I have made the earth, God speaking now, listen, I have made the earth, the man and the beast that are upon the ground, by my great power and by my outstretched arm, and have given it unto whom it seemed meet unto me. And now have I given all these lands into the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, my servant. And the beasts of the field have I given him also to serve him. And all nations shall serve him and his son's son until the very time of his land come. And then many nations and great kings shall serve themselves of him. And it shall come to pass that the nation and the kingdom which will not serve the same Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, and that will not put their neck under the yoke of the king of Babylon, that nation will I punish, saith the Lord, with the sword and with famine and with pestilence, until I have consumed them by his hand. Therefore hearken not ye to your prophets, nor to your diviners, nor to your dreamers, nor to your enchanters, nor to your sorcerers, which speak unto you, saying, ye shall not serve the king of Babylon. For they prophesy a lie unto you to remove you far from your land, and that I should drive you out, and ye should perish. But the nations that bring their neck under the yoke of the king of Babylon and serve him, those will I let remain still in their own land, saith the Lord. And they shall till it and dwell therein. I spake also to Zedekiah, king of Judah, according to these words, saying, bring your necks under the yoke of the king of Babylon, and serve him and his people, and live. Why will ye die, thou and thy people, by the sword, by the famine, and by the pestilence, as the Lord has spoken against the nation that will not serve the king of Babylon? Therefore hearken not unto the words of the prophets that speak unto you, saying, ye shall not serve the king of Babylon. For they prophesy a lie unto you, for I have not sent them, saith the Lord. Yet they prophesy a lie in my name, that I might drive you out, and that ye might perish, ye and the prophets that prophesy unto you. I think I'll skip the rest of that chapter, and we'll just move into chapter 28. And it came to pass that the same year, in the beginning of the reign of Zedekiah, king of Judah, in the fourth year, in the fifth month, that Hananiah, the son of Azur, the prophet, which was of Gibeon, spake unto me in the house of the Lord, in the presence of the priests and of all the people, saying, thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, saying, I have broken the yoke of the king of Babylon. Within two full years will I bring again this into this place all the vessels of the Lord's house that Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, took away from this place and carried them to Babylon. And I will bring again to this place Jeconiah, the son of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, with all the captives of Judah that went into Babylon, saith the Lord, for I will break the yoke of the king of Babylon. Then the prophet Jeremiah said unto the prophet Hananiah, in the presence of the priests and in the presence of all the people that stood in the house of the Lord. Even the prophet Jeremiah said, amen, the Lord do so. The Lord perform thy words which thou hast prophesied, to bring again the vessels of the Lord's house and all that is carried away captive from Babylon into this place. Nevertheless, hear thou now the word that I speak in thine ears and in the ears of all the people. The prophets that have been before me and before thee of old prophesied both against many countries and against great kingdoms, of war and of evil and of pestilence. The prophet which prophesieth of peace, when the word of the prophet shall come to pass, then that prophet shall be known that the Lord hath truly sent him. Then Hananiah the prophet took the yoke from off the prophet Jeremiah's neck and break it. And Hananiah spake in the presence of the people, saying, thus saith the Lord, even so will I break the yoke of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, from the neck of the nations within the space of two full years. And the prophet Jeremiah went his way. Then the word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah the prophet, after that Hananiah the prophet had broken the yoke from off the neck of the prophet Jeremiah, saying, go and tell Hananiah, saying, thus saith the Lord, thou hast broken the yokes of wood, but thou shalt make for them yokes of iron. For thus saith the Lord God of hosts, the God of Israel, I have put a yoke of iron upon the neck of all these nations, that they may serve Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and they shall serve him, and I have given him the beasts of the field also. Then said the prophet Jeremiah unto Hananiah the prophet, hear now, Hananiah, the Lord hath not sent thee, but thou makest this people to trust in a lie. Therefore thus saith the Lord, behold, I will cast thee from off the face of the earth. This year thou shalt die, because thou hast taught rebellion against the Lord. So Hananiah the prophet died the same year in the seventh month. Now, it gets worse from here. Jeremiah is telling Zedekiah, the king of Judah, he's telling him the truth that God's telling him. God has said that all the nations of that whole region round about Israel, he had given to the king of Babylon to serve him, and that that was their job. They were to serve the king of Babylon, and they were to listen to him. And He said, anybody who will serve the king of Babylon can stay in your land. Anybody who goes out to the king of Babylon can live. But the people who stay in the city, they're going to die. The people who fight against the king of Babylon, they're going to be carried away. What he had made the prophecies very clear to all the nations. This was not just Israel. It was all the surrounding nations around Israel too that he said were to serve Babylon. Babylon, the king of Babylon, his son, and his son's son. They were to serve them. And what do you suppose Zedekiah should do if he is the king in Jerusalem and Jeremiah the prophet is speaking against him and against his kingdom and telling him that he is in trouble and that he should listen to another king from another country who's causing their country a lot of trouble? What do you think Zedekiah should do? How many of you guys would agree that Zedekiah should take a man that is that mouthy and put him in prison? Well, that's what he did. If you got a person who's causing that much trouble in the country, put him in prison. So he did. Well, I didn't dig really deep into this morning. I didn't have quite enough time to dig as deep as I wanted to. I think Jeremiah went to prison a couple of times throughout the history. And it may be that not everything in the book of Jeremiah is written chronologically as it happened either. So it may be that we bounce back and forth a little bit in between different times in all the things that are written here. So I'm not sure if Jeremiah goes to prison a number of times or if he goes and gets out and then he goes again or what. But the next thing that happens chronologically as it's written in the book is Jeremiah ends up being told by God to take all the things that God has spoken against Israel and write them in a book. And so he gets all these things written down and he brings it to the people who serve the king and they take it to the king before Zedekiah and they're reading it. They're reading this book of the prophecies against themselves that God had written against them. And they're reading, and they get through about three or four pages or something, and I can't remember if it was the king or if it was the person holding the book. I think it was the king. One of the people there in the presence in the room while they're reading this book that Jeremiah has written, they take a penknife and they cut the book and they toss it into the fire and it burns up. That's a good idea to do with the Word of God, right? If you don't like what God says, get rid of it. There's a fire right there. Get it in the fire. You know how much better it would have just been for Zedekiah and all these people if they had simply said, oh, God said we're supposed to serve the king of Babylon. Let's do that. And they could have lived in peace. But they just wouldn't do it. They wouldn't do it. They probably were like some of us Americans, which believe that we have certain inalienable rights that are guaranteed to us through the Constitution and that we don't have to do things that the government puts over us. But the fact of the matter is, the rights that we have been granted to us by man can never be put over the demands that God gives to us if he wants us to be something or do something. Okay? If God puts us in a certain position in life, the best thing that we can do in the position of life that we are put in is serve God and treat anybody right that is in our country, whether it be our king, our countrymen, we could even say our relatives. I mean, sometimes that's the hardest people on earth to treat right. I don't think that's true of any of you guys, but you know, sometimes relatives really get in our way. Anyway, it was so simple. The words were so simple. I put the king of Babylon over all the nations around you. Now serve him. It was that simple. And if you serve him, things will go good for you. However, there was a lot of people that had to leave their houses and leave their fields and leave their towns and go live in a different country to do it, because that's what God said. He carried them away. He sent them out to the country of Babylon. He said, you go there and I'll take care of you there. And we know some of the stories of things that happened there. You know what happened while they were there in the kingdom of Babylon was that one grand man of the kingdom decided that all the Jews that were in all the provinces of the king of Babylon should be put to death. Now, hang on. Now, Jeremiah said to the people that those that that those that God put in Babylon, he would take care of and he would plant and he would not pluck up. That's what he said. This was the word of God. Those people could have just looked back to the word of God and they could have taken faith and said, well, you know, I don't know how this is going to come out, but here's the promise that God made to us. And you know what happened. The Jews didn't get put to death. They lived and they thrived. And in fact, they became leaders. Well, many of them became leaders in the kingdom of Babylon the whole time they were there, starting with Daniel and the three men who fought with the king and did what they thought was right. And in that nation of Babylon where they were carried away, God blessed them. But if you had been in their shoes at that situation, you would have presumed that your life was rather difficult and you wouldn't have liked what was happening. And you would have said, this is ridiculous. Let's get rid of this king and get back to our country. You might have even gotten really spiritual and said, by faith we should overcome and fight against this king. But God had said, submit to him. And so, and believe me now, this isn't necessarily always the case in every situation, because many times Israel was commanded to fight against wicked kings that were coming to destroy them. So it's not just a matter of that submission is only ever the right thing. But of course, in the New Testament, we as a church have never been called to fight against kings. Okay, that's never, ever been the position of the church. It was the position of the nation of Israel many times. Most of the times in the Old Testament, they were told by God and given the ability by God, even as a small nation, to fight against very great nations. But in this specific situation, God had told them that Nebuchadnezzar was going to be their king and they were to submit to him. So Jeremiah gets put in prison. They burn the book that he writes. God tells them to write another one. I want to go to Jeremiah chapter 37. And maybe we just begin at the beginning of the chapter. And the king Zedekiah, the son of Josiah, reigned instead of the Coniah, the son of Jehoiakim, whom Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, made king in the land of Judah. But neither he nor his servants nor the people of the land did hearken unto the words of the Lord, which he spake by the prophet Jeremiah. And Zedekiah the king sent Jehukal, the son of Stelemiah, and Zephaniah, the son of Maaseiah, the priest, to the prophet Jeremiah, saying, pray now unto the Lord our God for us. Now Jeremiah came in and went out among the people, for they had not put him into prison. Then Pharaoh's army, which came forth out of Egypt, and when the Chaldeans that besieged Jerusalem heard tidings of them, they departed from Jerusalem. Then came the word of the Lord unto the prophet Jeremiah, saying, thus saith the Lord, the God of Israel, thus shall ye say to the king of Judah that sent you unto me to inquire of me. Behold, Pharaoh's army, which has come forth to help you, shall return to Egypt into their own land. And the Chaldeans shall come again and fight against this city and take it and burn it with fire. Thus saith the Lord, deceive not yourselves, saying, the Chaldeans shall surely depart from us, for they shall not depart. For though ye had smitten the whole army of the Chaldeans that fight against you, and there remained but wounded men among them, yet should they rise up every man in his tent and burn this city with fire. And it came to pass that when the army of the Chaldeans was broken up from Jerusalem for fear of Pharaoh's army, that Jeremiah went forth out of Jerusalem to go into the land of Benjamin to separate himself thence in the midst of the people. Okay, that's far enough. God, in the process of time, it looked to Israel when the king of Babylon's army was around Jerusalem that maybe God was sending them deliverance because Pharaoh's army came up, and Pharaoh's army apparently was a pretty strong army. When they came up, the Babylonian army got afraid and they left. And Jeremiah is sent to tell Zedekiah, listen, you see that the Babylonian army has left, but they're coming back. The word that God said is that they are going to come into this city and that they are going to burn this city with fire. Okay, you're not going to get away, you're not going to get out of that just because another man's army has come up. They are coming back into this city and they are going to burn this city with fire. And he said, if you had smitten the whole Chaldean army so there was nothing left but wounded men, they would still get out of their tents and come and burn this city. All right. We're going to go back to 2 Kings and look at this story just a little bit for the last few minutes. They did. There was lots more in Jeremiah that we could have read about Zedekiah. But the message is pretty clear. What God had said to him was pretty clear. Submit to the king of Babylon. Do what he tells you. Well, he didn't actually specifically say do what he tells you. I mean, in that situation, we have to balance reality with we ought to obey God rather than men. And you know, when Israel went to live in Babylon, they didn't submit to Nebuchadnezzar in many things, as they still refused to worship his gods. They got themselves in trouble for it, and they still prayed to God when they were forbidden to pray to God, and so many things. And so many times we are in a place where the governments over us in this world are not friendly to God, and we must disobey certain things that they say when it's related to the things that God commands us to do. Yet, in other respects, we are submitted to our government. Okay? So, we read this already. In verse 3, on the ninth day of the fourth month, the famine prevailed in the city, and there was no bread for the people of the land, and the city was broken up, and all the men of war fled by night by the way of the gate between the two walls, which is by the king's garden. Now the Chaldees were round about were against the city round about, and the king went the way toward the plain, and the army of the Chaldees pursued after the king and overtook him in the plains of Jericho, and all his army were scattered from him. So they took the king and brought him up to the king of Babylon, to Riblah, and they gave judgment unto him. And they slew the sons of Zedekiah before his eyes, and put out the eyes of Zedekiah, and bound him with fetters of brass, and carried him to Babylon. In another chapter in Jeremiah, which I did not just read this morning, I don't know exactly what was God's intent here, but he had been saying to all the people of Jerusalem, you go out to the king of Babylon, you'll live, you stay here in the city, you're going to die. But one time he came to Zedekiah, the king, and he said, you are going to be conquered by the king, but he's not going to kill you. Okay, so that had been a promise that had been made to Zedekiah. For whatever reason God said that, I don't know. But here it happens, the king comes and he gets into the city finally after Zedekiah for 2 years had refused to listen to him. For 2 years he had fought against the king of Babylon. After the first 9 years of submission to him, then he had fought against him for 2 years. And now the city is taken and the king escapes with the army. But the Chaldeans catch him and they take him and they bring him to the king of Babylon, who takes all his sons and kills his sons before his face, then puts out his eyes and binds him and carries him to Babylon and puts him in prison. Then they go into the city and they take and they destroy, they burn down all the houses of all the great people in the city. They tear out all the brass and the gold and silver out of the temple and carry it away. They burn the temple with fire, they break down the walls of Jerusalem, and they leave behind them an absolute mess, which Nehemiah comes back to fix 100 years or so later. But there's just a few people, after they finally conquer this, there's just a few people that's left in the city that when after all the destruction is done and the Babylonian army cleans the city out, kills the people they want to kill, takes the people they want to take with them and destroys the city, burns it up, they leave just a few poor people left in there. And they make a man called Gedaliah governor in the city. And it happens that Gedaliah says to the people, don't be afraid of the Chaldeans. Now that's a pretty strong statement. They've just spent years fighting with Israel. They've carried everything away. They've destroyed their houses. They've burned and broken down their city. And this man, Gedaliah, says, don't be afraid of them. Come on now. Why aren't we supposed to be afraid of them? Well, because actually he told the truth, because it was according to the word of God that they did not need to be afraid of the king of Babylon. Gedaliah said to them, don't be afraid. He said, verse 24. And Gedaliah swore to them and to their men and said unto them, fear not to be the servants of the Chaldees. Dwell in the land and serve the king of Babylon, and it shall be well with you. Well, isn't that what God had said? That's what God had spoken through Jeremiah over and over and over and over again. If you serve the king of Babylon, it's going to be well with you. And so Gedaliah says, serve the king of Babylon. Well, in all, just as though history had never happened and nobody had ever seen anything and nothing that God had ever said had ever come to pass, they don't like the words that Gedaliah told them. And so what do? They come and they kill Gedaliah. And they pack up all the people that are left still in the land, in the city. Everybody that's left after they've killed Gedaliah and all his servants, and they leave to go to Egypt because they are afraid of Babylon. Now, how many of you guys have ever heard this term, the fear of God? Do you know what Jeremiah had said to the people? He had said that anybody who served the king of Babylon, it would be well with them. Everybody who went over to Babylon to live, they would be planted and not plucked up. Any of the nations around them who would listen to and serve the king of Babylon could even stay in their land and sow and reap in their own land if they would serve the king of Babylon. But he said anybody who resists him is going to be destroyed, and anybody who goes to Egypt is going to be destroyed. And here it is, as though nothing God ever said had any weight with anybody, and even though every promise that God had made to them happened, and they had been completely destroyed because they absolutely would not listen to them, they still, through fear of man, through fear of the Chaldees who God had told them to serve, they go to Egypt. When God had very specifically said that he would not bless, but he would pluck up and destroy those Jews who were in Egypt. Does Solomon write in the Proverbs that the fear of man bringeth a snare? The fear of man bringeth a snare. What are you afraid of? If there's only one thing that we really should be afraid of in this life, and that's God. And if we're afraid of God, we should listen to what he says, because he's right every time. Just so happens he has that history to his name that he's, every time he's ever said anything, he's been right. It was so simple that. He didn't have a complex situation to deal with. He had a very simple thing to deal with. God had decided that Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon was going to be king over all the region, and he had told all the people to submit to him. That was all. It wasn't pleasant to hear. It went against what they as a nation felt like they should be and do, but it was what God had decided. And when they didn't listen, they got themselves in trouble, and those who did listen were blessed. Most of them didn't listen. The people who got carried away to Babylon, originally in the first carrying away, who God said he would bless there in Babylon, they hadn't even had a choice. They just got carried away. This was before Jeremiah even said these things, that they got carried away. And so it wasn't like they had specifically submitted to God. It was just what happened. It was a fact of history at that point that the king of Babylon had conquered Jerusalem and had carried the people away. And there they were blessed. Now, if you want to keep studying this subject, I got an inkling in my head this morning that maybe we should go immediately into the book of Ezra and Nehemiah after this. I'm not sure that I'm going to do that, but it really continues the story right where we leave off right here. Well, actually, it doesn't. We'd have to do Daniel first, and I'm sorry I can't do Daniel because there's too much prophetic stuff in Daniel, and it confuses me. I don't know how to understand all the things that are written in Daniel, so I'm not qualified to do Daniel. But you guys can go home and do this yourself. Maybe we just come back to it another time, because I kind of wasn't planning to keep going on this at this time frame. But next, that's what happens in the scriptures here. If you want to read the stories of how things happen, you're going to go read the book of Daniel, then the book of Esther, and then Nehemiah or Ezra and Nehemiah. And this will trace those four books will trace the time that Israel spends in Babylon. And how, according to, it's just so coincidental almost, that Jeremiah had prophesied that Israel would be returning to Jerusalem after 70 years. And it just so happens that one of the kings that comes to power after 70 years sends them back to Jerusalem to build the temple. Why would you imagine a big king of a foreign nation would ever do that? But that's what God had said. And so far, as I said, he's always been right. Every time he ever said anything, he's always been right. And so it happened. They were sent back to build the temple. And after they had been there for about 40 years, then I think something like that, then Nehemiah ends up being sent back by another king. And he's sent back to build the city. And so Jerusalem, the temple is rebuilt, and the city is rebuilt. And there's some more things in the scripture that are prophesied about Jerusalem. They're coming yet. The whole wide world doesn't believe it, but it's still going to happen. God's never been wrong yet. So Zedekiah was the last king that reigned, one of Josiah's sons. He was the last king that reigned in Jerusalem, and not in Jerusalem there has not been a king since Zedekiah. Never been another king in Jerusalem again. And there will not be another one. According to prophecy, there will not be another king in Jerusalem until, well, not of David's line anyway, until Jesus comes back and he sits on David's throne in Jerusalem and rules over the whole earth. The Antichrist is coming there first, unfortunately. And he will cause a lot of trouble on the earth when he comes. We are going to take a break till 11 o'clock. Let's dismiss.